We thank him this morning for all of his blessings that we have received in 2012. The poet said, a crust of bread and a corner to sleep in, a minute to smile and an hour to weep in, a pint of joy to a peck of trouble, never to laugh and the moans come double, and that is life. But that's not life in Christ. Because Jesus said, if the problems of your life are weighing you down and you can't find relief, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's rest in Jesus. Because all spiritual blessings, I wish somebody knew it this morning, all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. Amen. We're glad you're here this morning. Thank you for your presence. I want to call your attention this morning to the gospel according to Matthew. The chapter is number 7. Good to see Brenton and Mia in the back and that sweet little baby. Right. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, beginning at the 7th verse. You have that, say amen. Amen. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. Of what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good things, good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Today is the final Sunday in this new year, and we've been sharing for the past 2 weeks a series of messages entitled Three Keys to a Magnificent Life. Three profound keys to a magnificent life. We've talked about asking and it shall be given you. We've talked about seek, you shall find. This morning we're going to look at the final instruction in that prayer model given by our Lord, and that is knock, and it shall be open unto you. Amen. Amen. So in Christ, there's life. In Christ, there is abundant life. In Christ, there is newness of life. In Christ, there is eternal life. And I'm so glad this morning that the Son of God came into this world to help us, because we needed the help that only he could provide. Now, we've talked about asking in life. You got to know whom to ask. You got to know how to ask. You can't live in this world without asking. Amen. You got to know how to ask and when to ask. And then in this world, you got to know how to seek. And you got to seek until you find it. And then, of course, Jesus talked about knocking. He said, if you knock, it shall be opened unto you. Now, the concept here is that you're standing before a door. There are some things that you can't do for yourself. Somebody is going to have to help you. No matter how independent we think we are, somebody's got to help us. No matter what level of success you've obtained in life, somebody helped you along the way. You didn't make it by yourself. You need somebody to help you in life. Amen. And it is a sad proposition if you think that you can live in isolation and somehow make it in this world, because we all tied together in a single garment of destiny. Well, Jesus said, knock. He said, did y'all hear it? He said, knock, and it shall be open unto you. Well, what does knock mean? Knock means to strike repeatedly upon a surface or a door with your knuckles, seeking attention or admittance. Now, when you're knocking, you're trying to get somebody's attention, or you're trying to gain entrance or admittance. Now, Dr. Adam Clark said that ask denotes want, seek denotes loss, and knock denotes earnestness. And so with each level of instruction, it moves to a new level of intensity. You see, you got to live with intensity in your life. You can't be laid back about the thing that really matter in your life. You got to move with some intensity. Is that right? If you're going to have the kind of life that you deserve to have, and you deserve to have a great life, because you are a child of God. You are made in the image and the likeness of God. So there are certain things you deserve. And so Jesus said that if you knock, it shall be open unto you. Now, the word knock has a lot of usages in our society. We talk about knocking all the time. Sometimes we tell somebody, don't knock it till you tried it. Is that all right? Sometimes we talk about if we want somebody to stop saying something or stop doing something, we said, knock it off. Is that all right? Sometimes we talk about knock the socks off. And when you talk about knocking their socks off, you're talking about it just delighting them and just overwhelming them with delight and astonishment. Yeah. We even talk about knock them dead. Yeah. We don't literally mean knock them dead, but it means just blow their mind. Yeah, didn't I blow your mind this time? All right. I think it's Dale Phonics sung that. Yeah, now all the old school folks know who that is. Maybe some of y'all youngsters don't know what that is. But back in the day, we had real music. I don't know what they're doing now, but back in the day, we had some show enough music. Is that all right? And so, and not only that, you talk about a knockout. And when you talk about a knockout, you're talking about a boxing term. Where somebody get knocked out. He got knocked out in the fourth round. Well, sometimes you talk, when you said knockout, you're talking about damage that's been done by a storm. You say the storm came through and it knocked out our lights. Is that correct? Sometimes we say knock on wood. And when we talk about knock it on wood, we're talking about how fortunate we are, and we are delighted with our a sense of fortune. Is that correct? And then we talk about knocking around. And when you talk about knocking around, that talks about the idea of just wandering about aimlessly. So knock has a lot of usages in our society. And sometimes you say knock down, that is, they're going to reduce the price. We're going to knock it down about $10. Then sometimes you talk about knock off. That means they knocked off the gas station. And I know when you said knock it off, you know what they did. Yes, sir. when you say they knocked it off. So knocking has a lot of usage in our society, but we're concerned about Jesus. When Jesus says knock, what is he telling? Now, first of all, he's telling us in your prayer life, you got to ask, seek, and knock. But also in your living, you got to live with earnestness and sincerity and intensity. If you want to have the great things in life, you got to keep knocking at the great door of prayer. Don't stop knocking at your prayer door. You got to keep knocking at the great vaults of life, or the great things of life. And you got to knock until somebody opens the door for you. Amen. So this morning, I want you to see three things in this message. I want you to see, number one, why we should knock. Number two, how we should knock. And number three, somebody's knocking at your door. Did you hear me? Can y'all hear? I said somebody knocking at, do you hear him? Somebody knocking at your door. Do you hear him? Somebody's knocking at the door of your heart. Well, why should we knock? Number one, we should knock because Jesus said we should knock. That's a good enough reason right there. If Jesus says that we should knock, we should do it. We shouldn't merely give Christ sanctified lip service. We shouldn't just call him Lord, Lord, and don't do the thing that he say. That he says, is that all right? We've got to do what he says. And he says that you ought to knock in your life. And that's very important. There's something you're not going to get if you don't knock. And something you're not going to get if you don't ask for it. Is that right? Haven't you heard the old saying, the squeaky wheel get the oil? Is that right? Amen. Sometimes you got to open up your mouth and ask for what you want in life. And so Jesus said you got to ask. Not only do you have to ask, he says you've got to seek. And when you seek, you will find it. Now, you can't do like these kids sometimes, do they? You tell them, go in there and get my glasses. And they go in the room and turn around and say, I don't see them. You can't look like that, amen. You got to look a little more intensely and more in-depth than that. Here's the second reason you ought to knock. And the second reason you ought to knock is because there are some great things in life behind a door that need your participation and your involvement. Amen. There are some things in your life you're going to have to participate in. You're going to have to get involved in. And these are great things. Amen? Amen. These great things can take your life to the next level. But if you don't knock, you won't get them. You need to knock because there are some places you need to go that you can't go unless you knock. Amen. Because those things are waiting for you. Now, of course, nobody is going to just give you a great life. Amen. You don't get a great life mailed to you in the mail. In fact, we sing these powerful spiritual songs, but even in these powerful spiritual songs, a great life doesn't come floating to us on the songs we sing. We got to do more than sing. I know we sing because we're happy. I know we sing because his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. But you got to do more than sing. Yes, you got to knock. Amen. Here's a third reason you should knock. It's because there are great forces at work in this world that are both good and evil, positive and negative. There are some forces bigger than you, some powers bigger than all of us Dr. John Philip was right when he said that the Bible is the most important book in all of the libraries in all of the world. There are a lot of books in libraries all over the world that are important books, but there is no book that is as important as the Bible. It is a book of precepts. It is a book of proverbs. It is a book of parables. It is a book of principles. And this book will help you not to ruin and wreck your life. And I'm telling you, without the help that comes from this book, you will make a mess of your life. You will shipwreck your life. But this book will put my feet firmly on the path that leads to success and victory. And if I don't ask, if I don't knock, brother, if I don't seek, if I don't knock, I'm giving the evil powers in this world the upper hand in my life. You see, if you got a garden and you want to keep the weeds out, you just can't wish them away. Hello? If you want a beautiful lawn, you just can't say, I sure wish them weeds would get out. Is that all right? Even if squirrels move in your attic, you just gonna say, get out of there, and think they gonna move. You gotta get them out. Ain't that right, Brian? You gotta get them out, and they'll drive you crazy too. How I get on that? I don't know. But Hillary, run over to Ephesians 6, verse 10. I said there are some forces bigger than us, negative, that are at work, working against you. Did you not know there are some forces in this world bigger than you, working against you, trying to destroy you? Amen. What did it say, Brother Hillary?
Finally, my
brother. Finally, my brother.
Be strong in the Lord.
Be strong in the Lord. That's a positive. The Lord is a positive force. And the Lord want to work for you, not against you. Read, my brother.
And in the power of his
might. The power of his might.
Put on the whole arm.
Put on the whole arm of God.
That ye may be able to stand.
That you may be able to stand. The wild means the stratagem. The devil has a strategy for your life. He know how to hit you where it hurts. He has what's called flaming arrows, fiery darts, or flame. You remember, you watched the cowboy picture? And, you know, the Indians would be shooting arrows. And then they would set an arrow on fire and shoot it. And whatever that arrow hits, it sets it on fire. The devil has some arrows like that. Going to hit you and set you on fire. And it'll take a while for you to put them out. Is that correct? He can hit you with something in your life. And that's why you got to knock. You got to ask and seek and knock. Because if you don't ask, if you don't seek, if you don't knock, you're giving the enemy the upper hand in your life. Read it, Brother Hillary.
For we wrestle not against
flesh and blood.
Against flesh and blood.
Against flesh and blood.
But against principalities.
But against principalities.
Against powers.
That somebody got more power than you got. Amen. There are some folks, Brother Harris prayed about it. There are some folks in the world that got more power than you got. Ask Richard Scrooge. Earl, he was a billionaire and had to ask the judge, could he spend his money? That's power, ain't it? That's power. Somebody can freeze up your money. That's why you got to keep knocking. Come on, Brother Hillary.
Against the rulers of the darkness.
Against the rulers of the darkness.
Of this world.
Of this world. Come on.
Against spiritual wickedness.
Against spiritual. That is a negative power at work in this world. Look at what's happening in the world. You got people just losing it. And they go out and they kill several people. And then they kill themselves. And that's happening repeatedly. We got folks so sick in this world, he sets a fire. firefighters, Lord have mercy, coming to just do their jobs, and four get shot. Don't you know some evil is working in this world? It'll destroy you. The only reason why the devil hadn't killed me, God didn't let him. The only reason I hadn't had a nervous breakdown, God didn't let him drive me out of my mind. Is that all right? And that's why I got in my life, I got to keep asking and seeking and knocking. Because something evil is in this world. And it will destroy your life. But you got to have an attitude, I will not be defeated. I will not be denied through Jesus Christ my Lord. Amen. But when you ask and when you seek and when you knock, you give the positive forces a chance to work in your life. I need all the good in my life I can get. Can you say amen to that? So here are some reasons why you should knock. Let me talk about how you should knock. Now, if you have your Bible, I want to go back to Acts chapter 12. Brother Hillary, you did a beautiful job reading that, man. I was going to see how you was going to read that big word. I think you stumbled for a minute, but you got it together. Yeah, you hadn't seen that, had you, Doc? Yeah, but you got it. Now, let's talk about how you ought to knock. And I had this text read this morning to show us how we ought to knock. Herod, the king of Judah, was a madman. And he decided he would persecute the church. So he took James and he killed him with the sword. He beheaded him, y'all. He cut his head off. And then he took Peter because he saw that when he killed James, the people were excited about it. You see, everybody don't want to see you succeed. Everybody don't want to see you have success. And smiling faces sometime. Oh, I wish I had some help in here. They don't tell the truth. Is that right? Amen. Everybody come to your housewarming party don't necessarily glad you got the house. I wish I had some help in here. Huh? Folk who, ooh, and oh, I'm about your new car. Ain't necessarily glad you got it. Trying to figure out how you got it. How you got that car? Ain't none of your business how I got it. I didn't steal it. Is that all right? So Herod killed James. This is the same James who one day came with his brother John and they asked Christ for seats on the right and the left hand when he came into his kingdom. Same James. And Herod beheaded him. Now, during biblical time, the Jews had four ways to kill you. They would kill you by stoning. They would kill you by the sword, that is, decapitate you, behead you. They would kill you by burning you alive. And they would kill you by strangling you. And the Romans also had crucifixion. They had a lot of ways to kill you. Now, which way you want to go? Amen. So they took Peter and Herod put him in prison. He put him before what's called a quaternion, which means it was four squads. Brother Harris could tell you about that. And each squad had four soldiers. So when Herod took Peter, he put him in the custody of 16 soldiers. But let me tell you something. If God is for you, they could put 116 soldiers on you, but they still can't hold you. Is that all right? And they put him into prison. And he was going to decapitate Peter. And so the church got the news that they had killed James. And of course, he wanted to kill Peter and James because they was what I call pillars in the church. They were influential leaders in the church. And if the devil can destroy an influential leader in the church, it hurts the church. You better hear me on that. Is that all right? You see, that's why you ought to pray for your leaders. Because you think you up against it. You try to lead some folk to heaven and see, don't you get bust upside your head. You get bust upside your head down to the white meat. I wish I had some help here. You know what we said on the street, man, I'll bust your head to the white meat. You done heard that. I hope you didn't say it. Is that all right? And so he puts Peter in prison. And Peter he's got a guard on his right hand, Sister Blanson. He's got a guard on his left, and they have a chain on him. But Peter is sleeping. What verse is that, Doc? Verse 6. Let's start right there.
And when Herod would have brought him forth.
Now, Herod is now getting ready to bring Peter, and he's going to behead Peter in front of all the Jews like he did James. And let me tell you something. That's why you need God for you. Read, my brother.
And when Herod would have brought him forth.
All right.
The same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers.
But Peter was asleep between two soldiers. Come on.
Bound with two chains.
He was bound with two chains.
And the keepers before the door kept
the prisoner. And you had two soldiers on each side, and you had two soldiers before the door, and you had some more before the gate. So Herod wanted to make sure the quaternion, four squads, four soldiers each, 16 soldiers. And while they were getting ready, watch this. Don't miss this. The church went down on bended knee. The church began to ask. The church began to seek. And the church began to knock at the great door of prayer. They're praying for Peter's safety and release. And just when Herod would have took him, God sent an angel from heaven. And the angel went into the prison, shined a light in there, and hit Peter in the side. Wake up, Peter. And when he said it, watch this, his chains fell off. This tells me, when God comes into your life, some may have had you in chain for years, just fall off. Is that all right? Had him bound with chain, but when the angel of the Lord came in, hit him in the side, the chains fell off. Told Peter, put on your clothes, put on your shoes, and follow me. And God had put those soldiers in such a deep sleep, they didn't even know what was going on. See, God can put you to sleep and you will never wake up. Is that all right? And so he led Peter through the gate. And Peter really didn't know it was real, Brother West. He thought it was a vision. Let me tell you something. Don't mistake a vision for what's real. Don't mistake a dream for what's real. Is that all right? You need to know what's real in your life. And Peter was out there walking, Brother Hillary, but he didn't know whether it was real or not. When they got to the gate, The iron gate automatically opened. See, God had automatic doors in the time of Christ. Because the gate automatically opened. Not just at Winn-Dixie. God had an automatic door. And he led Peter out into the street and led him to the end of the street. And the angel then left him. Then Peter knew God had rescued him. Because the church had been knocking. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. My God. Help Peter. Help him, Lord. We're going to keep knocking till we get an answer. Is that all right? And now watch this. And then Peter is free. And Peter comes to the door. He comes to the door. Amen. And Peter comes to the door. Rhoda was a servant girl, damsel. Now they in there praying for Peter's release, right? They're knocking, right? And Rhoda, her name means Rose, R-O-S-E, because Jewish parents would name their daughters after flowers and trees to signify their beauty and their femininity. Amen. So Rhoda comes to the door. She hears a knocking. And when she recognized Peter's voice, who is it? It's Peter, Rhoda. Peter. And Rhoda runs off and don't even open the door. She runs back to the prayer meeting and tells them Peter's at the door. And then it's interesting. Here they are on bended knee asking, seeking, praying for Peter's release. And when Rhoda told them that God had given what they asked for, they didn't even believe it. They said, Rhoda, you out your mind. Rhoda, you've seen his angel. But one thing I like about it though, Peter's still at the door, y'all. They in there arguing about, it ain't him, but one thing about Peter, at the door, Peter still, open the door. And finally, Rhoda, open the door. Rhoda, get the door, please. And Rhoda opened the door. And there Peter is. And he told him what God, how God, Lord have mercy, I was on the freeway. Not like R. Kelly, he saved me. But let me tell you something, I got a testimony. Riding on the freeway, running about 70 miles an hour, my back tire came off the vehicle. I lost control. The vehicle spun around in the middle of the freeway. I didn't call Ghostbusters either. You know who I called? I said, Jesus! And you're not going to convince me. The Lord's angel came down and stopped that car in the middle of the freeway. But let me tell you something. When the tire came off and I lost control, there was no cars around me. I said, no cars around me. And I just had a friend in Atlanta who was killed by a tractor trailer on the freeway. And then, and I know you can tell the same thing, how God saved you and rescued you. Was in my house, sleep in my bed, and the house was burning down around me. Smoke normally puts people into a deeper sleep. But the great God of heaven said, Moss, I ain't through with you yet. I ain't through with you yet. Wake up. Brother Ben, I jumped out of my bed. Fire was everywhere. Me and my wife could barely get out. But he saved me. Can you say amen to that? You ever had any moments in your life, it wasn't nobody but the Lord who rescued you? Nobody but God saved you? Is that right? Because I tell you, because somebody in your life was knocking for you. Somebody in your life was asking for you. Somebody in your life was seeking for you. Is that right? Jesus said, you keep knocking until the door is open. Amen. You got to keep knocking till the door is open. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow said, he said, perseverance is a great element in success. If you knock long enough at the gate, you will eventually wake somebody up. Is that all right? Edison said, the man who created the electric light, Thomas Edison said, he said, one of the great weaknesses in life is that we give up too soon. We're right on the verge of a breakthrough, and we give up. But Edison said, you keep trying until you break through. Somebody put it this way. If it is your fate to be a beggar in life, make sure you beg at the biggest gates. Is that all right? If I got to beg, let me beg at the big house. Let me beg where some real material blessings are. But here's the final idea here. And that is, somebody is knocking at your door. Well, it's something about importunity. So many people in life are giving up. I'm telling you, don't give up. I'm telling you, keep knocking. Because Colonel Harlan Sanders of Kentucky Fried Chicken fame, he knocked on 1,000 doors with a chicken recipe. And Brother Sperling, 1,000 doors was shut in his face until finally somebody opened the door to a chicken recipe. And the results are, it's finger licking good. Is that all right? We talked about last week, there was a man who came to his friend's house at midnight seeking bread. And Jesus makes it clear, it was not because of friendship that the man on the other side of the door opened the door and gave him the bread. It was not because he was his friend. It was because of his importunity. Importunity means to continue on deliberately in the face of difficulty. Sometime in life, you got to keep pushing in the face of difficulty. Sometime you got to keep pushing when it looks like it ain't getting no better. That man kept knocking. And that man gave him what he needed. That was a poor widow. Went to an unjust judge. He didn't open the door of justice for her because of compassion or some compunction of conscience. He did it because she kept coming. She kept knocking at the great door of justice until she got what she want. We walk by faith, not by sight. And faith say you keep knocking even when you can't really see a reason to knock. And in my conclusion this morning, somebody's knocking at your door. In the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ is walking in the midst of the seven churches of Asia Minor. In his right hand, he has seven stars. And I'm saying this morning that the Lord of glory has a message for every church on earth. Are you listening? I said God has a message for every church on earth. And we would do well to hear what God has to say. What would be the message of the Lord to Bush Hills? People said, Bush Hill, you can be a great church, but you got to do better. Is that all right? You got to do better. You got to rise to the next level. Is that right? It's sort of like I heard this story, Brother Sperling. So this guy was in the pulpit preaching. Man, he was sweating. And he thought he had thrown down. So he was in the pulpit preaching, just preaching and preaching. And it said when he came down out of the pulpit, there was an angel standing at the steps. And the angel said to him, you can't do no better than that. That's something to think about, ain't it? Moss, can you do any better than you doing? Yes, I can, Lord. Can you do any better than you doing? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Are you going to do any better? Yes, you are, because I believe in you. Is that right? And see, God chastises people he loves. See, sometimes you have to get chastised because God is loving on you. Is that all right? And so he told the church at Laodicea, he said, you have a temperature problem. You have lost your spiritual edge. How many can say you're still excited about the church like you were 5 years ago? Remember when you first started dating? Is anybody in here dated? Brandon, you remember when you first started dating? Brandon said, man, why you call me out? Okay, Brandon, I'll leave you alone. Hillary! And you know, when you were in love and if somebody took your pulse and called that girl name, your heart started racing. And back before they got the bucket seats. See, this old school, y'all don't know nothing about this. The 8-track tape. Huh? Amen. Diamond in the back. Some rooftop. Digging the scene. Gangsta lean. Ooh-hoo. Is that all right? Y'all don't know nothing about that. That's old school. Is that right? But you remember back in the day when you were dating? Man, when that girl get in the car, she slide next to you, and you look like a two-headed monster going down the street. Is that all right? But as the time moved on, you came in one car, she came in the other. Is that all right? There was a time when you opened the door. Now you say, get it yourself. Is that all right? Sort of like a man who told his wife, he said, I was a fool when I married you. She said, yeah, but I didn't know it then. Is that all right? That's how it is sometimes. Amen. That's how it is sometimes. But let me tell you this. So Jesus say, you got a temperature problem. You're neither cold nor hot. And because of this, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Amen. So Jesus is saying to us, I want to tell you, he's knocking at your door. And he's saying, if you open it to Revelation 3:20, brother, here to get there for me quick, Revelation 3:20 as we conclude. He says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And let me tell you something. It doesn't matter how bad you've messed up. God can fix it. Don't believe the devil's lie. You've messed up so bad it can't be helped. It can be helped. God can help you. He's willing to help you. He's ready to help you. You have it, Brother Hillary? What does it say?
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
I stand at the door and knock.
If any man hear my voice, and open the door. I will come in.
I will come in and what?
And I will sup with
you. Sup means I will eat with you.
He with me.
I will eat with you, and you will eat with me. That means I'm going to extend to you the right hand of righteous fellowship. I'll need that. I need Christ more than ever. I need Christ desperately in my life. I don't want to live without Christ. Is that all right? Can you say amen to that? I need the Lord in my life. Well, Brother Moss, how can I eat with the Lord? You eat with the Lord by obeying the gospel, by hearing the gospel. Amen. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, by believing the gospel. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Is that all right? And then you obey the gospel by repenting of your sin. Acts 17:30. At the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You must confess the sweetest name ever to roll from mortal tongue. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, you must be immersed or baptized in the water. And Jesus comes in. And he sups, he eats with you. And if you're a child of God and you've erred away, you've strayed away, I got some good news for you. You can come on back. This is the last Sunday in the year. Don't take old sins until the new year. Are you listening? Why would you take old baggage into the new year? Why not have a clean slate? If you need prayer this morning, we're here for you. You need salvation, we're here for you. Whatever you need, we're here for you. I will not be defeated. I will not be denied. Why? Because I'm going to ask, and I'm going to keep on asking. Lord, show me who to ask. I'm going to seek until I find. And Lord knows I'm going to knock until that door is open unto me. And if I've erred away, if I've fallen away, I can come back home by repenting, confessing my sins, and praying. And Jesus Christ, who's standing at my heart's door, will come in and receive me. Is that all right? So I'm closing. This has been a great year. It's been a tough year for me this year. I got to admit that. It's been a rough year. But you know, I'm still thankful. I've had some major hits this year. Amen. But I'm still standing by the grace of God, because he's a good God. Is that all right? So I want to thank him. I want to thank God for another day's journey. I want to thank God this morning for another year of life. Is that all right? Nobody told me, Brother Rutledge, that the road was going to be easy. Yes, the road has been rough. Yes, the road has been tough. Is that all right? But I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. Is that all right? Nobody told me that the road was going to be easy. But I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. Is that all right? And Jesus is speaking to your heart this morning. He's saying, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Is that all right? He says, knock, knock, and it shall be open unto you. Is that all right? Because can't nobody do me like Jesus. Is that all right? He's in a class all by himself. Is that all right? Jesus, he took me from sunset to sunrise. Is that all right? He took me from a spiritual famine to a spiritual feast. Is that all right? Yes, he took me from disgrace to amazing grace. Is that all right? He took me from darkness into the marvelous light. Is that all right? He took me from a slave of sin to a son of God. Is that all right? He took me from nowhere. I was nowhere. But he brought me to somewhere. Is that all right? And I just want to praise his name. Is that all right? I want to thank you, Lord, for another day's journey. I want to thank you, Lord, for another year. Is that all right? I want to thank you for health and for strength. Is that all right? I want to thank you for being a mighty, mighty good God. Is that all right? When I couldn't see my way clear, Lord, you was right there and you helped me. Is that all right? And I just got to thank you. Thank you, Lord, for letting me see the last Sunday in a new year. Sister Claudia Scott Stewart last Sunday. She told us she'd been traveling 79 years on this road. She said it's been a little unusual, but God brought her a mighty, mighty, mighty long way. Is that all right? I thank God for letting me live in this world without this world living in me. Is that all right? I thank God for allowing me to hold down a job without that job holding me down. Is that all right? And I just want to thank him for all of his blessing, because he was wounded for my transgression. Sister Pat, he was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of his peace is upon us. And by his stripes, I'm healed this morning. I want to be healed every day of my life. I want to be healed 7 days a week. I want to be healed 12 months in a year. I want to be healed 10 years in a decade. Is that all right? I want to thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Thank you for teaching me. I need your instruction, Lord. Would you stand on your feet? That's the message. May God bless you. May God bless you real good. And now is your time to respond to the invitation. This is the Lord's invitation. We thank God for the invitation. What a wonderful part of our service. We thank God for the invitation. And if you have something you need to have the church to corporately pray for you this morning, do it. If you need to confess your sins, do it. Because what you can do today, you might not be able to do tomorrow. Amen? And so you just keep knocking. Wherever you are in life, maybe you don't have everything you want, but you keep knocking. Don't you give up. You give out. Come on down, my dear sister. Come on down. Come on down. God bless you. Amen. Come on, help us. See, Brother White, would you please see to her? Amen. Whatever your situation is, I don't know what it is. I'm just glad to be here. Earl, I'm sort of like the cat, old alley cat in a cat show. So they had a cat show, and all these beautiful breeded cats was on the stage. And somebody said, "Alley cat, what you doing on that stage?" Alley cat said, "I know I can't win. I'm just glad to be here." Is that all right? I'm just glad to be here. I could have been gone, sleeping in my grave. Is that all right? Has 2012 been a challenging year for you? I believe it's going to get better for you in 2013. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? Well, it begins by putting God in the driver's seat in your life. Because if the devil ride with you, he will drive. Is that all right? You can't give him no ride. He will jack you. Hello, y'all. He'll jack you. Have you in the trunk of your car. Because he is the devil. Pass me not, oh gent. Why don't you hear my humble cry? Oh, why on earth this day? I'm calling you, Savior. Oh, 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 hey. Okay. Okay. Why don't you hear my humble cry? You know that why on earth dost thou call? Not pet.